Hi, welcome to another episode of the Beyond Blocks podcast, a podcast about Drupal, PHP, open source and related software development topics. I'm Oliver Davis. I'm here again with my guest, Mark Conroy. How are you, Mark?
Hey Oliver, how are you? Good to be here again.
Indeed. You're the second returning guest on the podcast. We've had Eric Morland was on recently, and you're the second person who's been on twice, so that's pretty cool.
Have you had a person on three times?
No,
Okay,
not yet.
I can see another podcast episode in my near future, so
That's quite interesting. I think that's, I got a couple of people on, say twice. I'm thinking of reaching out to one or two people again after DrupalCon who've been on. If there's new things to talk about, I don't necessarily want to just get people on again, just almost for the sake of it. But I got quite a few new people coming up for future episodes as well, which is quite fun. So, but yeah, if
sounds
there's
good.
things new things to talk about, then why not have people on again, right? Because yeah, you've changed quite you've had quite a few sort of changes and things since we last spoke. Do you want to speak a little bit about that? We can get into the
I think the last time, geez, it must be a year ago now at this stage, but in the last number of months, yeah, I resigned from Anortech and I set up my own company. If anyone's watching on the video, it's called The Confident. I'm wearing my hoodie. Full disclosure, I got Oliver to stop recording a minute ago, so I go put it on because I was wearing a different t-shirt. So yeah, I set up my own company. I want to work kind of on a few different ideas. One is kind of the I want to work on productized services and products, digital products, and I want to do more work on kind of consultancy, and I want to focus as a kind of what I call a niche of a niche of a niche is on the local government market. So I'm doing a lot of work. I think I've been pretty well known the last couple of years for local gov Drupal. So I've been doing a lot of work with that, and I'm now, I guess, what we're going to talk about today, sponsored to for 50% of my time to actually work on local gov Drupal as a platform, as opposed to implement local gov Drupal for any specific councils. And that's kind of, yeah, it's what I'm doing at the moment. I've set up the company. It's been trading now maybe what, 6 weeks, 8 weeks or so, and touch wood, so far so good. It's been going great.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think that term productized service is one I've come across quite a lot in the last couple of years, with people going away from sort of away from like the hourly billing approach into more productized based things. Like you can buy a report or an audit or something like for X amount of money. You can sort of buy off the shelf rather than a we will just get you in for an undetermined number of hours at this rate.
Yeah,
But
well,
yeah, it's something I find interesting.
when you look at someone that comes and say, can we hire you for 3 days to do something? I mean, really what they're saying is, can we hire you to do something? I don't see why I should sit in the office for 3 days if I can get it done in one day. And I don't see why I should be there for 5 days when they thought it was only going to take 3 days. So I think the idea that I would say, and I think we might get onto it later on with the available Drupal developers. Like, I just give it as a fixed price. You pay me this amount of money, and I'll try to find some developers for you. And that's the end of that. There's no more commission after that. There's no more coming back for more money. There's no more, oh, I thought it was going to cost something, and I made a mistake in my estimates. And I think clients understand that much, much simpler than a certain number of hours, and God knows if we're going to get it done or not in that amount of time.
Yeah, I think the probably fair to say the majority of software projects I've worked on in my career since 20, at least I've been doing it full time since 2010, like a majority of them go over estimate. And I've thought about this quite a lot the last sort of few years, or maybe like why that is. But I think there's the fundamental thing around, yeah, we'll pay this much per day or per hour for people. And they've, if it's that sort of RFP type process, then usually they've got some sort of budget that they want to try and spend. So it's a lot of trying to get the numbers into that budget, and then actually in practice usually then there's, usually a lot of the work is already done or the time's already spent before you even get to that usually. And yeah, then you're always up against it, usually toward the end of a project. And then people are like, well, how much long is this going to take? And it's not usually how long is it going to take, it's usually how much is it going to cost.
Exactly.
So if I can just give you a fixed price up front and say it'll cost this much, whether it takes me a week or takes me a year, then that's up to me to make sure I'm giving you that price
Yeah,
effectively.
and if the client is happy to pay, $5,000 for this feature, I mean, arguably they should be happy to get that feature in 2 minutes' time. then
Exactly. Yeah.
10 weeks time, like they can start making money on that in 2 minutes. Or would they rather, I would rather if it had to take you the full 10 weeks and I could make no money on that and it cost me the same amount. So it's a, yeah, it's a pricing strategy I really like. So I'm kind of working more towards that, but I think we're probably digressing a little bit.
A little bit. Arguably, it's worth more if they get it, quicker. But yeah, I
Well,
guess
yeah.
just one last thing on this. Yeah, I did a project for a client for the beginning of the year, and they came to me and said, "We've got a demo with somebody that we need to sort of show how this plugin works that we've got." That gave quotes for something. I can't exactly what it was now. We need an example shop to set it up with that we can plug our thing in and show it to them. Being careful about names, you just don't
Yep.
want to leak anything. And yeah, they sort of said, yeah. And I said, yeah, it'll cost this much. And they said, yes. And then it was like, I've already got Docker projects, like example projects set up that I could use and the whole build configs thing. And Drupal Commerce, well, it's called Commerce Kickstart now, but essentially just setting that up from scratch and a little bit of tweaking here and there. And it was built and I gave that to them. And they got the work from it, like, and it was a lot of work. So, it wasn't a bad price that I gave them, but yeah, if I was doing a proper value-based approach, it would have been potentially a lot more. But yeah, for them, it was about the outcome and how long it took to do it, really.
And that's exactly it. You know, when someone comes to you, they're really purchasing your knowledge, and the fact that you can do it faster should be a bonus, rather than like, do you want an absolute intern that has to go through 4 year computer science degree before they can start writing one line of code for you, or do you want me to do it and I'll have it ready for you in an hour's time?
Yeah, there's something else I was going to say, but it's gone from my brain, so it'll come back to me later on, probably. But yeah, interesting. So yeah, you said about your company. It's called The Confident, just reading your hoodie. So yeah, good branding. I'm curious a little bit, like, where did what's the name, what's behind the name, and where did it come from, and what was the thought process for that?
It's actually kind of simple. I'm going to say there's a band called Blur. I guess everyone has heard of the band called Blur. But Blur have a song called The Universal, and it's a fantastic song. My favorite band from the 90s and when I was growing up was always the Manic Street Preachers. And I remember reading an interview of Manic Street Preachers years back, maybe 10 years ago or more, and they were saying that they loved the title of the song The Universal. And they wanted to write a song called, you know, with that kind of a name in it. And they wrote a song called The Everlasting. And I thought, that's really cool. If I ever open my own company, I'm gonna call it something this, something that's kind of ballsy and a statement of a name. And I tossed around a couple of names. I thought, oh, The Confident, that's a kind of a that kind of I think says what I'd like to be about. So that's where that came from.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I've just gone for Oliver Davies Limited. It's a bit boring, and it's a bit, yeah. Because I think I was pretty. Yeah, I remember I was doing freelance work before that, but then it was sort of like a pretty quick thing that I was going to sort of set this up, and they were like, "Oh, we need to set up a company, and what should we call it?" I don't know. But yeah, there have been some really interesting ones. I sort of think back on and went, "Oh, that would have been really cool." Like Node One is sort of one of the older
Yes.
Drupal ones. I thought, oh, that would have been
Yeah.
quite a cool one. Yeah, it's always interesting to come think about some of the backstories behind some of them and where these came from. Obviously, Acquia is fairly common with the Drupal scenario, but yeah, well, interesting. So yeah, what's the story behind you wanting? Is something you've always planned on doing? Is moving more into the product sort of open source space, or just an opportunity that came along, or how did that whole switch thing come about for you?
Getting more into the open source sponsored development wasn't a business strategy. Getting more into kind of productized services and fixed rate services and focusing on a niche of local government Drupal, that was I kind of over the last 5 years or so I've been becoming more and more and more in that area. So that was I was. It was more, do you know Nod, the Drupal developer, Theodore Bayadala, the French chap. When I resigned from my last job back in maybe April or May, I read one of his blog posts where he was doing Drupal core commits and people could sponsor him. I thought, that's pretty cool. Geez, I wonder could I get I was going to say, could I get away with that? But could I do something similar to that with local Gov Drupal? Because I'm a local Gov Drupal core maintainer and I do a lot of work on it, and I'm well trusted. So I as soon as I left the job, I had every, or not everybody, you know, lots of Drupal agencies across Europe kind of contacted me for a chat, and pretty much every agency that's of any kind of decent size. So that was kind of heartwarming. So I mapped out kind of a, here's the ideas that I think I have for my new company. And one of them was the idea of getting some sponsorship for local Gov Drupal, especially from agencies maybe that were doing lots of local Gov Drupal work, but maybe not doing as much contribution as they'd like. And I know every agency wants to do more contribution, but the busier you are, and it's ironic, like the busier you are, the less contribution you end up doing because there's so much client work. Big Blue Door contacted me. They were actually the first people to contact me about this kind of thing. And we had a chat, and they said, you know, we got a lot of work on local Gov Drupal, but we haven't done as much contributions as we'd like to do. We think sponsoring you would be a natural kind of direction for us. So yeah, we said we'd try it out for 3 months, see how it goes. And I think it was 5 months ago, and we haven't stopped. They seem to really like the relationship. I'm absolutely loving it. It's going really well. We've built lots of cool features for local Gov Drupal. Got lots of bugs fixed. We've lots of more things coming up, and I think it's great for local Gov Drupal then as well, that they know, hey, there's somebody available for, you know, half of his week at least, if not even a bit more, to fix things. So I can get a lot of things thrown at me. I was always known as a fairly decent front end developer, but I'm getting a lot of back end tasks thrown at me now. Or not thrown me, strong word, of course. Assigned a lot of the back end tasks as well, which is, that's pretty cool. It's kind of building up my skill set more, and I'm really starting to enjoy the back end tasks. But as an actual direction, no, being a full time sponsored open source developer wasn't the actual direction I had planned. And I guess it shows you when you kind of open yourself up to ideas that, you know, things take directions that you don't plan on necessarily going in.
Yeah, there's been various discussion, I think, around to the Drupal community, the PHP community, I guess, with things even like PHP Foundation want to sponsor the actual PHP language itself. But obviously, Drupal Association does fundraising or sponsorships and memberships and things as well. But I'm trying to think, but I'm sure there's been discussions around people having almost core developers on staff as well. Like, I don't know. See, Acquia have got Drupal acceleration team and contribute a lot of time back there. But yeah, it's interesting. And there's a few other people you mentioned, Nod and JSXJM. I know it was is doing something similar with Drupal core release management. She's got sponsors, I think, that sponsor some of her time to do. But yeah, I think it's all pushing the project and the community forward, I guess, in a way, by people having that sort of dedicated time to do it. And not just, oh, I've got a couple of hours this evening and do it on my own time.
Yeah, and I think there's an onus really on companies as well, that if you're making money from open source, especially if you're a very busy company and you're making lots of money from open source, and if you don't have the time to free up your own developers, you know, you really should put that money back, or put some of that money. I think you do it with it's a 5% of your profit or something like that, go back into sponsoring things. You know, and that's a great way of doing it too, that you can sponsor someone for 3 hours a week or 1 day a week or whatever it is, to get work done. There's always so much work to be done. Like, you look at Drupal core, there's, I don't know, maybe 20,000 open issues. I mean, don't tell me we don't know what to work on. There's something there for you.
Almost too much to work on, I
Yeah.
suppose. But yeah, excuse me. Yeah, no, it's really true. I think that, yeah, there's so much that can be worked on. I think it's just some of the time it's just finding time for people and sort of pointing them towards an issue and going from there. But yeah, and I think that's your point of whether people are they're too busy almost to give back. And I've sort of had experience of that working on a project and sort of gone, oh, we need to deliver this project first, but then this module could be a good candidate for releasing and open sourcing later on. We'll come back to it at the end. We'll clean it up, but we'll remove any client-specific stuff. Usually, I would just write it as contrib first and then pull it in. But if you're doing it that way, then yeah, you need to clean it out and make sure it's all generic and nothing client-specific in there.
And you know,
So yeah.
that's an interesting angle as well. I've had a couple of chats with a couple of agencies that have said that to me, that Mark, we're so busy on our projects, and we have a couple of modules, and we write similar modules for each of these local. We go local gov Drupal again, local gov government clients. We don't have the time to make them more generic and write doc the you know more documentation for them or kind of generic documentation for them, and maybe there's not a settings page and things like that. So they've started talking to me about, could we give you those specific custom modules and you make a generic module from them, and then the whole community gets that back. And I think that's an interesting angle that I'd like to explore a bit more with some agencies.
Yeah, because I found that because that time never comes essentially, because you straight as soon as that project's finished, you've done it and you've handed it over, the team's on to the next project. So
Exactly.
that time that people were sort of expecting or planning to be there between projects usually isn't. So yeah, if there's a better way of getting that time, whether it's sponsoring somebody else to do it, then it's good for the community, then the whole community, if that's there and people can reuse it and then I guess then improve it later on as well.
And then
Yeah, I.
when you do that, you'll find then that somebody else that has a need for that module or was creating similar modules to it will start using your module, but they'll add new features to it. And then you get those features for free. So you can, make a bigger profit or reduce your price, whichever you want to do for your clients for the next project.
Yeah, benefits of open source, right?
Absolutely.
Brilliant. We can do that. Something I've been quite surprised by, actually. Like we were saying before, about DrupalCon that was in Barcelona. The talk that you were supposed to give, but that the other Finn ended up giving, was about local gov microsites. So I was looking at that, and then the other one I looked at previously was alert banners. So I remember submitting a PR to that module a little while ago. But a lot of them aren't actually that local gov specific. So I've even looked at using that on some projects that need alert banners that's not local gov, but I could just use the local gov alert banner module. And I think microsites is pretty much the same. It's branded as local gov microsites, but it could even be used on other things as well.
Yeah, we're well aware of that ourselves, that when we started, there was very a local gov Drupal specific namespace on GitHub, and we probably didn't spend enough time in the initial phase of seeing what is actually local gov specific and what is a nice feature that a local gov website might use as well as any other sites. And I think the alert banner is a perfect example of that. There was one I was building called Content Access Bypass. And thankfully, I had an idea that this could be used by anybody, so that went on to Drupal.org instead. We are looking at moving the whole of local gov Drupal from GitHub to Drupal.org eventually. Now, that won't necessarily mean the namespace will be gone, so it might still be called local gov alert banner, but at least it'll be easier to find on Drupal.org. We'd like to have as many of them made a little bit more generic namespace wise, but just migration. Upgrade scripts to write for that, or even some way of removing the local gov Drupal version from composer.json to get the Drupal.org version into composer.json and things like that. And then we've got the hassle with all the issues and all the issue tags and all the accounts we have on GitHub. How do we get those moved across as well? But yeah, I take your point. Lots of the local gov Drupal modules can be used in other places and should be.
Yeah, it made sense. I think when I was doing Transport for Wales stuff, and we were doing look at the whole London Bridge situation. With, and we were looking at that for alert banners. Like we had a homegrown written, or it was written before I got there, thing of how to make the whole site black and everything. I think that's how I started looking at the local gov version, more as
Yeah.
inspiration really, to go, well, what are these guys doing over there, with different options and different type, almost like a library of alert banners you could use. And I thought, oh, let's see what those guys are doing and take some inspiration from that. But then thought, actually, nothing in here is that specific. So we potentially could just use the whole module. So something I'm looking at still, actually. But no, it's been great. Like I've been a little bit involved in local gov. Well, you mentioned Content Access Bypass. Talked about that the last time. But yeah, I looked at that and wrote some tests for it since we last spoke, so that was cool. But yeah, I did a little bit with local gov on microsites, which was quite fun, and it's been great to sort of see. I've spoken to get involved with some sort of project work on it, but at least from, let's say, from the outside, from a development perspective, it's been great to see the project being adopted by so many new people and councils. I guess councils, but also like even some agencies like ones I previously worked for getting involved, which is great. But yeah, I think it's on 50 councils or over 50 councils now, which
Yeah,
is
we're a little over 50
awesome.
councils, and there's only 400 councils in the UK. So, that's one in every eight councils. I think, might be wrong, but I think we're the most popular CMS for councils in the UK now. If we're not, Drupal itself is, because some might be using different versions of Drupal, but I think local gov Drupal could be the most popular.
Yeah, that's really interesting. As I know, Newport City Council is the one I live in, and that's on local gov now. So that's pretty cool. So yeah, every time I look at that, I see a big green alert banner that says new website. Click here if you've got feedback. So yeah, speaking of that,
Yeah,
that one's.
they're an interesting council because Darren is an SRS, I think you call it. There's a number of councils together that they're a part of. So it's not just Newport that is involved in that one. There's I think there's three Welsh councils together as a grouping.
Yeah, I think that's something actually we're speaking about some sort of hallway discussions about anything about that with certain councils being grouped and having to split out and everything. That wasn't a thing I sort of had thought about beforehand, but
Yeah.
yeah, that could be a thing we have to be aware of. But yeah, I think what's interesting, what I'm hoping to see now is more Welsh councils getting involved in it. Given as it can, it's given it needs to be bilingual, and it is, so it's English and Welsh as well. Same as a transport site.
Yeah, I was me that wrote the modules for the local gov multilingual. Actually, part of it, we had done some Tipperary County Council funded the first part of it, because in Ireland, I think 15% of everyone's council website must be bilingual Irish and English. So they sponsored subsites and I think it was services. And then I was working with another council in Ireland. Actually, I won't mention those because that website hasn't gone live yet. But they funded all the rest of local gov Drupal being multilingual. And that was around the time or before the time when Newport's tender came out. So it was actually, I'm not sure who won that tender, but whoever won it, I think got kind of lucky in that there was the whole multilingual suite was written for them then as well. And again, that's one of the benefits of open source. You get that from somebody else.
Sorry, I'm just gonna move my desk down so I can sit down. Yeah, but I think, yeah, that's the benefit, isn't it, of having that open source thing, is that once something's sort of written once and everybody can benefit from it and use it. And but we're sort of back to that original point then. Is there sort of an implication is the wrong word? Is there almost like an expectation then to contribute back? Like if you're either an end user of a company or you're an agency and you're saving X amount of time by using that module and or that functionality rather writing it yourself, is there a thing like almost like you obviously there's no sort of hard rule that says yes you have to, but I was gonna say morally is a strong word again, but is there
That's
like
exactly what I was going to use. I think morally there should be an imperative for it, yeah, or ethically. And
ethically is what it is, isn't it?
contributing back doesn't mean that someone spends like me 2.5 days a week writing code all day for it. But it might be as simple as you leave your Slack open. So if somebody asks a question, hey, has anyone ever used this module? Has anybody ever created this feature? You can say we've done it or we haven't done it, but I know somebody else who has done it. Something as simple as that. A small tutorial on your blog or how to install, I don't know, Masquerade module, or why is Masquerade module better than or not as good as, or differences different to Masquerade role module or something like that. That's all contribution. So it doesn't have to be 20,000 euros sponsoring DrupalCon. It doesn't have to be sponsoring someone to work 3 or 4 days a week on it. It doesn't have to be whatever, but kind of showing up and being there. And I think Dries had a great one about makers versus takers a couple of
Yeah.
years back, and that's really showing this strength of how the Drupal community works in that area is showing up now. I think when you see the controversy going on in the WordPress world at the moment between who's using open source just for their own money versus who controls open source for their own. I'm going to stop talking there because I don't want to weigh in on either side, but it's certainly it's a fascinating ethical discussion, I think. But I do think, yeah, if you're making money from open source, give back somehow.
Yeah, I think that's key. I think it's, yeah, morally or ethically, I think it's probably, I've always tried to, just because if I'm using it and you're making money off it, even just doing freelance projects or consultancy, then in my mind, it sort of makes sense to, give some of that back. And I've seen, even if it's just time, it's not always just money, but
And
having
you know,
other.
Oliver, I think like a lot of people look at it too that, oh, you get lots from Drupal, so you should be contributing back to Drupal. But I don't necessarily think you have to contribute back to Drupal, let's say, but you might contribute back to, I don't know, just helping somebody else, and like you might help somebody else in how they set up on PHP, or how to get up get set up with a in your case automated testing or something like that. So it's not necessarily Drupal specific, but you're kind of paying it forward that what has been good to you is you're going to be good to other people. You might be involved in five or six different open source, we'd say taking communities. Like you might take from WordPress and take from Drupal and take from Joomla, but only give back to one of those because you've only got a certain amount of time or finances.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think a lot of the things I at least previously, there were a lot of things I learned about testing and other things were from Laravel community. I mean,
Yeah.
it's a community as well. But like I've seen Adam Wathan give talks about automated testing and Laravel and some of his approaches, and he wrote a whole video course with test-driven Laravel. And I sort of watched that and went, "Oh, there's some interesting ideas." Again, like the local gov thing, like, there's some interesting ideas here. How can I adapt or adopt some of these ideas and maybe put a different, so you can't just copy the whole thing across, but like, oh, I could do even just the approaches of when I this type of test or testing it in this way rather than like do more functional or feature tests versus unit tests. But yeah, I don't I've used parts of that code base. And we see Laravel prompts coming into Drush now, just as an aside. But yeah, I've submitted talks, which I guess another way of doing contribution. I've submitted to give talks for Laracon a couple of times. Not getting accepted, but yeah, I guess that's another way of potentially of contributing as well. Yeah, and I guess the other thing I try and do is GitHub sponsors. So I guess if you're looking at individual people, people, if I'm using Drush or trying to think of some of the others like NeoVim, for example, is like supporting that, but and that's only maybe like £5 or $5 a month or something. Like that's not a large amount of money, but if it's something that I'm using to type code in 8 hours a day, let's say, then yeah, then it makes sense we just support that project and maybe some of its maintainers, and they'll get to spend more time potentially into that then and adding features that I'll use, and it's a
And you know,
nice cyclical
it's
thing.
great that it's not a large amount of money. That's only 5 euros, because if you can get 1,000 people doing that, well, there's 5,000 euros a month, and nobody feels any pain, but everyone is giving back, and the developer can start working on it, a week a month or 2 weeks a month or something like that.
Yeah, I was trying to think. There's a few, like I see a lot of people who do it this, as whether it's availability between projects for their maybe for their work or have got a little bit of money coming from GitHub sponsors. But I'm trying to think of people sort of full time doing it other than some of the people we've already mentioned. Like Evan Yu is like full time GitHub sponsors. Can't remember the guy's name. The guy who does Zellige, I think, is trying to get to build up that profile for himself to spend more time with Zellige almost full time. But yeah, it does. What am I trying to say? Yeah, obviously people, once projects get to a certain size, I think they need the ability to go and do that. And I guess Taylor
Yep.
Rockwell with Laravel is probably another example. Like he was sort of sponsored for the first while, but he's been working on that project full time for a long time. Yeah, I mean, I guess on the project itself, not necessarily just building consultancy or services around, well, they've got products around it, but not just building something and then doing client work essentially off it. Interesting. Okay, so you mentioned one of the companies who are sort of sponsoring you. What almost like what do they get anything back from that in the sense of like is it just yay, we're contributing more, or do you have something, do you have like a list of like published issues that you've worked on that week by clients that you sort of give back to them, or
Yeah,
does that work?
they get it's amazing. They get absolutely nothing back from me, and they put absolutely no restrictions on me whatsoever. So I've had two companies that have sponsored me so far. So Big Blue Door have been sponsoring my local Gov Drupal work, and Code Enigma gave me a 10-week sponsorship for Drupal core work. And in both cases, neither of them said, "Can you work on this or can you work on that?" What I actually would have expected. was that, and I hope these companies don't mind me say speaking out of turn about them, but I think what I'm saying is nice things, so they'll probably be thankful. But what I would have expected, say, from maybe Big Blue Door would be there. Hey, Mark, there's a nice tender coming up soon, and this council needs to have X feature or Y feature that doesn't exist yet. Can you start working on that? And then we'll be able to say in the tender that we sponsored the development of that. And I got none of that whatsoever. All they said is, how much do you want per day? And invite us each week. And I mean, it couldn't have been nicer than that. Like I invoice them on a Thursday at maybe 5 o'clock, and they pay me Friday morning at maybe 10, maybe half 10. I think the latest I got paid one day was Saturday. And that was absolutely fantastic. I even got to the, not that I got to the stage, but after about 6 weeks of it, I called the directors from Big Blue Door to say, hey, can we have a chat? I wanted to see how things are going. And they said, yeah. And we had a chat, and I said, like, I'm here 6 weeks now. You've never asked me what am I working on. You've never said you'd be working on something specific. And their answer was as simple as, look, Mark, you're a core maintainer. You know what needs to be worked on. You're a professional. We trust that you're working on it. We're happy to sponsor you to do the local government work. And it's been genuinely been as simple and as easy as that. So I just go and I do whatever I want to do. And I built some kind of cool things that nobody asked for at all. I built a keyboard navigation module that nobody asked for. That when you log in, you can type LGDAC, as in local gov Drupal admin content, and the admin content page will load up for you, and ADCAS
That's
and
cool.
the admin structure page will load up for you, things like that. But you know, they're kind of features that they're nice and they're ambitious and they enhance the editor experience. But nobody said, should we do this, or can you do that for us? And I've been really, really humbled, honestly, by how good they have been in terms of genuinely putting money into open source and letting the open source developer or developers go and do what they want to do, as opposed to develop the things that would be good for our business. So that's been great. And the same then with Code Enigma. They sponsored me for 10 weeks initially. And again, I said, is there anything in particular you want me to work on, in terms of Drupal core, in terms of Contrib, or any of your own modules you'd like me to look at? And they just said, no, you go and do the things that you want to do. We're happy to pay you the whatever amount it was. And again, like that, they paid up front. There was no invoicing at the end of the week or at the end of month. They just paid me the full 10 weeks up front and said, off you go and do it. I'd like to think that I give value to them as well, though. Like I don't really use Twitter these days, but I had been posting a tweet to say thanks very much for the sponsorship and things like that. I think it's a bit toxic now, so I more consume Twitter than use it. But every week I will have a post on LinkedIn to say, thanks to Big Blue Door for sponsoring, and here's the things we worked on this week. And I've also got then a blog post that supports that. And if I make a short video to demo something that I've been doing, I'll put their logo at the front of it. And again, they didn't ask for any of this, but I think that's kind of a nice quid pro quo from me to them. And the same then with Code Enigma. Each week there's a blog post, my local gov Drupal contributions this week, and another one, my Drupal core contributions this week. And that's it. Yeah, that's it. So there's been no specific timetables or no specific issues that anyone has asked me to work on, besides, I
That's great.
suppose, what's best for LGD.
Yeah, like I said, and then just by doing that, you're making the whole product better for everybody. And then, yeah, they get the benefits of that then. And it comes back around, and yeah, it should be easier for them to go and pitch that, because now it's got that multilingual functionality or whatever they need. But yeah, without being, yeah, work on this specific thing. I think that's really good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would presume that it's good for them when it comes to tendering stages, or when it comes to other things, to be able to say that they're sponsoring this. I certainly hope it is. I really do, because they're giving so much to it. Like there's a fee you pay each year to be a member of Local Gov Drupal or subscriber to Local Gov Drupal, and what they're paying me is multiples of that fee.
Yeah.
So I hope they're getting good benefit out of that as well.
Yeah, and it's been a while since I've been involved that side of the table. But if you are then looking at, if you're working for a company or at a council, and they want, they're putting a tender out for people, like I'd hope that would have some weight on it then. That's like, we sponsor this, this, or and we've contributed that back. I think that would hopefully, yeah, work in their favor if they are doing that. So, yeah, sure, we advantageous for everybody who's in it as well as the project. And yeah, they get to be, yeah, we've contributed stuff back, even if we don't have time to do it ourselves. We're paying somebody to go and do it for us with our without for us, but with our involvement and direction. So they're still getting the
Well,
benefit of that.
it's excuse me, I'm 2 days a week with Big Blue Door, so it's in essence like I'm basically, we say, a staff member that but my job while I'm working for them is working on local gov Drupal as opposed to working on an individual project. So I kind of don't even see it now as we don't have the time to do it ourselves. I see it as they've employed me to do it for them for those 2 days per week.
Yeah, that makes
I'm
sense.
also I've also got a small contract from local gov Drupal themselves, as in the local gov Drupal project, and that's a smaller one. It's only 2 hours per week. That's kind of what adds up to the 2.5 days I call it, and that's for, it's kind of business as usual, kind of triaging through some issues. Or there was a council last week had an issue with something on microsites, and they did a few things and went back and forth in issue queues. So I just happened to recall for an hour with them. So that kind of being an available helping hand if someone gets stuck.
Yeah, that makes sense. The way you said that makes a lot more sense, I think. But yeah, essentially employed you for 2 days a week to do that. Makes a lot more sense.
And I've also given them a kind of an exclusivity thing on it too. Like I've had some other agencies ask me, could we sponsor some of your local gov Drupal time as well? And I've said no to those. So they, I don't, I don't think that would be fair, let's say. So the simple thing was, if it's on GitHub under the local gov Drupal namespace, it's part of the Big Blue Door setup. And then each of the issues or pull requests I work on, I've got a small little tag thanks to Big Blue Door for my time working on this. And I created a browser extension that I don't see the save comment button until until I, you know, I have a little thing that says, have you given credit? Nobody can see it, but I might share a screenshot maybe on LinkedIn later on. So it obscures the save button with a big red thing, have you given credit? And the same on Drupal.org. And then I can click the yes or no, whether I want, I don't give credit every single comment, but kind of one credit, one mention, let's call it, rather than credit. That's, I suppose, got different connotations in Drupal. Just to say thanks on each of the issues.
Interesting. I mean,
Yeah, so
it's good.
I can work on. So you know, I'm not going to accept another, like, if Oliver Davies says, "Hey Mark, we can sponsor your other 2 days per week to do local gov Drupal," I'd say no. But adjacent things to it, such as, like I was saying a minute ago or a few minutes ago, that, hey, we've got a few generic modules. Do you want to make them available to local gov Drupal? That's that I think would stand outside of the kind of the sponsored or the exclusive sponsorship deal.
That's really interesting. Yeah. That's cool. So the browser extension. I was thinking back to Dreaditor, which is an old thing. They
Yeah.
used to have about putting buttons on Drupal.org and putting thing. A lot of it has gone into D.O now. But yeah, click a button and have it open up instantly. Test me or other things like that. But yeah, that's
Yeah.
quite a cool little thing that you've just mentioned. Yeah, I like little things like that. They're just little workflow things that make things easier. Big fan of writing tools like that or scripts that just make things easier. So if you can do that in a browser extension to make it, yeah, have you given credit? That's a cool little thing to do. Cool. The other thing I was going to ask you about was I've seen you tweeting a lot or mentioning posting recently about almost trying to connect new or connect Drupal developers with companies or with people who are looking. It seemed like, yeah, quite an interesting thing. So I don't know if that's become an offshoot of this with people requesting sort of work, or I guess it's not local dev specific. Like it's just, I'm assuming it's more just project work. But how did that come out of this as well? Or was that a separate thing that you've got involved with?
Yeah, well, that was a recruiter contacted me maybe 3 weeks ago saying, "Hey Mark, I see you do lots of helping people out on LinkedIn and that with Drupal things. I'm wondering, could you help me? I'm looking for some Drupal developers. I work for some environmental multinational, I think it was." And I thought, oh, actually, I know two fairly good developers that are available at the moment. So I gave them the names of these two people. And then I was out for a run that evening. And while I was running, I was thinking, who else do I know that's available? I want to make sure that, you know, my Drupal friends aren't unemployed. And then I thought, hang on there. This guy is a recruiter. I know if he hires any of the two people or the three people that I'm going to mention to him, he's probably going to charge something like 5,000 euros to the company. And he's probably going to take 10% of their first year's salary. So you're talking maybe 10, 15,000 euros he's going to get for this. Why am I doing this for free? So I like the idea of helping my Drupal friends that are looking for work, but I might as well charge the agencies or the recruiters. And then I thought, hang on, I know lots of Drupal people and I know lots of Drupal agencies. And I don't mean here necessarily recruiters, I mean actual Drupal agencies like, you know, whoever, Acquia and Lullabot and Andertech and Big Blue Door and all those kind of Drupal agencies. I thought, if any of those use a recruiter, that recruiter is going to charge them somewhere in the region of, say, 10 to 15,000 euros for the person that gets hired. Why don't I just tell these agencies, if you're looking to hire someone in Drupal, give me a call and I'll charge you 1,500 euros. So about 10% of what a recruiter call you. I know lots and lots of people and I'll get you a couple of names and I'll send them on to you. And if you hire them, give me 1,500 euros per person. And if you don't, that's fine. So no charge for if you don't hire someone and no charge to any developers. So I thought, right, is this a good idea or a bad idea? So I popped it onto LinkedIn and I got 190 comments in, you know, a day. And I thought, okay, this seems to be going somewhere. So for the cost of me putting up a page on my website, mark.ie/ available Drupal developers, I have a little side productized service with a kind of fixed fee and all that. And I've got three clients so far. Got me to see could I find some developers. So I've the first one I've sent, I think, seven names to them. The next one I haven't started looking for them just yet. And the third one, actually it's a potential client, let's say I'll chat with this person in the afternoon today at 2 o'clock. And I think he's going to be looking for one or two Drupal developers as well. So yeah, it's a small kind of offshoot. I think it could be very helpful to agencies to reduce the cost of hiring staff, but also how long it takes to find Drupal people. You know, if you got to do it yourself, you spend a day or 2 days trying to hunt people down across LinkedIn or across different boards and things like that, and email them back and forth to see if they're available. That's fairly costly. So I don't know. Maybe I'll realize there's a reason that recruitment agencies charge so much and my fee isn't sustainable. But for now, it seems like a fee that I'm happy to ask for. And I think it should be a fee that people will be happy to pay.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, so I guess the other thing then, like, almost getting some level of almost validation from yourself, because if you're then recommending people, I guess in a way, then that comes with a certain amount of, like, say, validation or verification. Because if they're gonna, as a company who are maybe not involved in Drupal at all, and they just know we hire Drupal developers, they're maybe not gonna know what they're recruiting for, not really. And you know, I was involved with one recently, and this happened after I was speaking at a meetup, and they were like, oh yeah, they were trying to hire a Drupal developer. They don't know what you're interviewing for. Can you say it on interviews and give us feedback? So that was quite fun. But
Yeah, and
yeah,
I've
there's
got
plenty
like
of ones.
if you go to mark.ie/ available hyphen Drupal hyphen developers and you read through the little blurb I've got, there's a link to a Google form there, and that asks you know your first name, last name, email address. Are you a front-end developer, back-end developer? Have I met you in real life or at a conference? And then can you pop in your links here for GitHub, Drupal.org, LinkedIn? So if someone says I'm looking for a Drupal developer in, we'll say, South Africa. I'm not going to say, yeah, there's the names of five people in South Africa. I have no idea who they are. I can at least I'll look through them and see, okay, they're on Drupal.org. They're maintaining four different projects. They're a member of the Johannesburg user group. They're, you know, there's a bit of a knowledge there about them. And that's something that then I would say, I don't know this person personally, but here's what I do know about them. I think they might be worth you having a conversation with. And some people have, you know, they've filled out the form. There's no link to Drupal.org. There's no link to GitHub. There's no link to LinkedIn. So I've just deleted their names. Or there is a link to Drupal.org and other things, but they've never committed anything on GitHub and they've never got anything on Drupal.org. And again, they get deleted. And I'm sorry about that. I mean, you know, some people don't have time to contribute and some people can't. But that's, I guess, part of the recruitment process that you need to be able to, I don't know, get your CV in some other way if you don't have stuff available publicly.
Yeah, well, I'm speaking with mentoring people on boot camps and things, always, yeah, if they can push anything out onto GitHub or, you know, contribute things that people can see, then that, you know, obviously works in their favor. And when the, you know, people look at their CVs or GitHub accounts, if they've got stuff they can show, then yeah, that's obviously beneficial. And I find it quite funny then if I'm ever asked to do a coding test for an interview, it's like, you could just look at my GitHub or my Drupal.org profile, and Look at that module that's used on 40,000 Drupal sites. You know, there's a coding test for you. Not sure if I need to do something very specific, because again, a lot of those are just very random or just not really that applicable to what I would do. Or yeah, it's usually don't work very well, I find, in my opinion. But no, it's good to see there's a lot that, or good to hear, I guess, that there are Drupal developers out there looking, because you're always hearing people are saying PHP is dead, or I think a lot of people have used PHP or Drupal as their first sort of language or first framework, and still think of it back in the Drupal 5 days or PHP 4 days. A lot of boot camps, I guess, are mostly focusing on JavaScript, like Scuder Code at Savara at the moment. So yeah, it's good to sort of know that there's still pipeline, or there's these developers out there sort of looking and trying to get into that industry. I think it's good.
Oh, I think the bad thing is there's developers looking.
Well, this is
You
true
know,
as well,
I
yeah.
wish they were all hired, especially all the Drupal ones. But it's good, I suppose, to see that there are Drupal agencies hiring. It obviously shows that Drupal is still viable. And yeah, I don't think there's any worry about the viability of Drupal or the viability of PHP. Not at all. There might be a smaller number of agencies or clients, we'll say, using it, but the ones who are using it are building bigger and bigger applications that need more people to maintain them.
Are you working exclusively with agencies? I know that's something I've spotted in local gov. Is a lot of some of the time, at least, there's tend to be in-house teams. I don't know if they're development teams or just people sort of coordinating the work in-house. But I do see, like on LinkedIn, very often, like so and so from so and so council, as a, I guess, in some sort of development role, I think. So do you work with anybody like that, or just with agencies?
I have no problem with that. I mean, if a recruitment agency says to me, "Can you get me three or four names?" I'll do that. If an agency wants a couple of names, I'll do that. And if a university or a council wants me to try to find them a few names, I'll do that. That's not exclusive to agencies.
That's cool. Yeah, I think Drupal's, as you said, an interesting space where it's used for a lot of maybe some more bigger or complex or ambitious projects. Like, not that it can't do small personal blogs or something, but yeah, I both think it's used a lot in local councils, ironically, higher education. I think, yeah, with a lot of university sites, and people come to mind who work on in-house teams and universities as well, who in the community. So it's an interesting thing. Cool. Anything else particularly you wanted to mention or talk about today while you're here?
No, I think we covered. I think the two main topics were open source contributions and available Drupal developers. We got enough tangents done as well, I think, to cover the other parts. Yeah, no, that was great, Oliver. Thanks for the time.
No problem. Thank you for coming on again. Yeah, as I say, I was looking out for you in Barcelona, but I mean, you were saying before that you went at this one, but hopefully I'll see you again at
Yeah,
some
I had
point.
family commitments this year and it didn't work out well. Definitely. I don't know. Where is it next year? Was that announced?
Vienna again next year.
Yeah, no, okay. Well, I'll see you in Vienna next year, so.
It's Vienna, yeah, and then looking at it, I think there's nice to see some of the smaller. I think Drupal Camp Scotland is sort of happening again next month. I think I saw DrupalCon, which was this month. I don't know. I'd only seen about it when I was at the camp. So at the con. So yeah, I don't know. Nice to start to see some of the other sort of events going back as well, maybe, which of
Yeah.
course is another form of contribution that people could do, is put
Absolutely.
these sort of events on. So yeah, we'll have to see what's going on there. But no, thank you again for coming on. It's been great to chat again. And yeah, thanks for keeping up to date with all the things you've been doing. Thanks everybody else for listening to the podcast. I've been Oliver Davis. Thank you.